You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So an actor is saying his lines, yeah. And then out of nowhere, he just starts singing.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Alive with the sound of Jimmy. Don't cry for me.
Rolling, 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 unadulterated loathing for your face, your voice, your clothing. Let's
hey.
Just say we're rolling all.
I love it all.
Do, 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 do.
That a face so ever small.
Don't you pretend like you don't know the lyrics to that song, Joe.
I know. All, listen, this is actually a really good segue because, and I'm not allowed to say that anymore, but we're working on something new for the show. And it involves, we're kicking around this idea of just like joyfully looking at things that we love, musicals we love, and putting together some stuff, talking about some shows that we really like. And so we have this whole new thing that's coming to you guys, soon. We're working on it now. This week we're continuing, our celebration of year one. What a year it's been for guys who like musicals. But that I was talking about Wicked made me think of it because I want to like, I freaking love Wicked.
It's, you know, like it's that cast. Obviously I knew every single word to the cast album, which is why I accosted you because
totally.
Of course, you did too. Like, don't freaking lie to me.
Yes.
Also
my brother who doesn't
like musicals and plays sports and sells stocks also knows all the lyrics to Wicked because of me. But also,
I was talking to my brother-in-law, who's the what?
Like,
what do you mean it's not good?
That was the point I was trying to get to, and then we could talk about Chris. But like, when you read the script of Wicked, when I first read the script, I was like, "What is this?" And then you read the reviews, and everybody was like, "What is this?"
The reviews. We'll talk about it more in depth because I think we might do a whole episode do a whole episode on this because this is basically what the next season is going to be. We want to talk about shows we love and things that we love about shows we love. And Wicked is It's got to be on the list.
Yeah.
I still, and Chris Fink and I, Chris, my brother-in-law who now plays for the 49ers, I don't care who you are. When you put on Defying Gravity at the end of a workout, when she goes up and the drums kick in, I don't care who you are. That should'll get you amped.
That's it. That's Broadway right there. That was the first show I saw on Broadway, and I was weeping. Okay.
Yeah.
Weeping when she goes in the air, and my parents were both like, "Oh, we're doomed." No, they didn't think that, but they probably thought that underneath. You know,
they were like, "Why is this kid crying?
Yeah.
Why are, this is the, like you know?"
They were like, "We've never felt that emotional about anything," and I was like,
"She's in the air, and she believes she can do anything.
She believes in herself.
She can do anything.
She's
different,
but
she can do." Right. Exactly.
That's pretty good. I'm actually crying.
My God.
Wow.
I mean, it's all right.
I wish you had video of this.
This is good. I love that we launched into this because this is a bit of a test drive for what this upcoming season is gonna be like. I think that one of the things I'm excited about is just to, you know, there's no theater happening anytime soon, and I wanna talk about theater, and I miss it, and I love it, and so we're going to do more stuff like this, and we're going to talk about shows we love, and we're going to talk about things we love, because I think that there's enough darkness right now, and we should try to bring some light into the podcast sphere.
Yeah, let's you try know? And be part of the escape a little bit, yeah. Because that's our lane. And yeah. I'm glad we took some time for the last few weeks to leave space, and we will continue to make space where we yeah. can, and every day, yeah. because Black lives still matter, and this yep. is a long-term fight against yep. To be anti-racist and to be anti, yep. you know.
Everybody watch The Jam, Daniel Watts, The Jam on Monday for night. Sure. He's got another one this Monday night on BET+. It was actually really sick in the last one that he did on Instagram Live, his last jam, which was incredible to watch. It was very difficult to watch. It was incredibly heartfelt and remarkable because he's remarkable. BET+ was like commenting on, like, in the Instagram Live comments.
Oh, that's
they were
wild.
Like, this is sick. This is unreal. You know, like, and everybody, all of the rest of us were commenting back, like, BET, put him, give him a platform,
right.
Like give him a place,
cut the guy, you know, a deal.
And that's exactly what happened.
Love
so,
that.
So check that out on Monday. The Antonio Awards were amazing. Yeah, what else is going on?
Well, starting in a couple days, if you haven't seen the commercials, you probably live under a rock or you don't watch streaming.
Oh, I live under a rock.
Hamilton is coming to Disney Plus for a whopping $5. So if you haven't paid the $500 to see it live, you can see it up close and personal yep. on Disney Plus, which is really cool.
That
just
trailer?
The trailer's sick. Before we go
the
any further with
sick.
It, though, just like as a context for the industry, the fact that these people in that show got to have that opportunity, and the thing sold to Disney for $20 million. Those actors got paid. This is a very historic moment.
It was like $75 million.
The deal?
The deal was like $75 million that they sold to, that Hamilton sold it to Disney.
For the rights?
We're gonna check it.
Pause.
Yeah, we're gonna pause. We're gonna I'm Googling. Hamilton sold to Disney. Let's look it up.
Wow, I was wrong.
Yep.
75 million.
Producers, 70. I was right.
Joe was
right. Market 8, dude.
Joe is so
crazy.
Still, point being, like, that's never
yes.
happened before.
Never.
So, and what's interesting, just to frame,
let me
hold on.
Can
one
I
second.
Say one thing? Okay, but just for a second, we did not sell Bandstand to Disney for $75 million.
True.
I just want to,
true.
Just want that to be clear.
But so Ben Thompson was just said on his Instagram today, like, it's really awesome for all those baseball players that they get to go back to work, and all these athletes who are already millionaires who get to go back to work and play seasons, and we're shit out of luck. You know, they're going to play without fans in a lot of these teams, and they're yeah. going to put those games online. This was the moment. We talked about this when this first happened. Broadway could have done that too, and it chose not to. And it's going to be mm-hmm. really interesting to see what happens to Broadway because of that. They really
totally.
Could have pivoted in a way that really could have set the whole industry up in a different way. And it doesn't have to go on forever, but there was totally a missed opportunity here. And I think
so too.
So because of that, we'll talk about other stuff on our show because there won't be any theater to talk about.
No, totally. But I think you're 100% right. And also, like, you know, Hamilton's not going to live on Disney Plus forever. You know, that is
right.
a huge.
Well,
it's going to be up there for a while. And
yeah.
then you know that, like, just like how Netflix and these, they mm-hmm. pull stuff down, mm-hmm. they put other stuff back up.
There has to be a
it's
term,
not just
yeah.
going
to
live there forever. You know, so the fact that we'll get to experience it at all and that we'll get to relive it at all in some way right now is just. You know, really, really remarkable.
Yeah, so, my mom told me that they're having a socially distanced outdoor viewing party. My brother's hooking his projector up against the fence and all the relatives are going to watch it. So that's funny. And
that to me sounds like a family who likes musicals.
Yep. They sure
I don't
are.
Know, man. I don't know, man. They sure are. he says they took you to see Wicked. Are. Let's just bring it back around.
Yep.
We'll see, that's gonna be great. So we're all gonna be watching that over the 4th of July weekend. Yeah. This week we're celebrating our one year anniversary. Again, we're gonna do this for a couple more weeks and just bring you some of our favorite moments from year one. We thought that we'd launch into my friend Noah. With Frozen closing and Frozen being the first casualty of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
We're just listening back to this interview and how lovely and positive it was. And also we get into a big conversation about race in an experience he had going to Russia, trying to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just the type of discrimination that happens in ways that, I mean, he laughs it off, and listening back to it, I'm just like, I'm really moved that we talked about it at all, because it's really painful. It's an incredibly painful right. story that he is laughing through, and, you know, we're like, oh my God, it's a crazy story. But like, just the struggle that, you know, actors of color deal with that we don't.
Yeah.
I think,
and we're,
you know,
just, we're just white guys. And so it shocks us. And then our friends of color are like,
Yeah,
we laugh it off because this has been happening to us since we were literally born.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Like, it's nice for us to say, for somebody like us to say that we don't see color, but I don't think that Noah would say the same thing.
No, exactly. And that's one of these things we're talking a lot about that was so wrong in the education of race that we had growing up.
Right.
When people would say, oh, I don't see color. And like, that puts an entire community's experience, you know,
it denies an existence.
Basically. It
exactly.
denies an existence. And that is something that we, you know, we're trying to be better, and we're trying to flip that, because that is something that was taught. It was like, oh, you know, everybody's the same. Everybody's,
we're all equal.
You know, we don't see color. We're all equal. And it's like, well, no, we're not. And, you know, we're not, because of this history and because of this inherent bias and this discrimination that we need to acknowledge.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, and so we get into that a little bit. I just thought that was such a remarkable moment. And then it's just a lot of joy, you know, talking about his experience with Frozen, and the guy's one of the best, and I miss him and I miss Frozen. But we're going to celebrate him this week. And then we're going to go through some of our favorite moments. And frankly, if there's any of your favorite moments that you would like us to revisit, or, you know, break down more in depth or talk about, you know, how, you know, we felt in those moments, we're reflecting on this past year, and we want to continue to engage with, our listeners. And what do you guys want to hear? What do you want to, you know, what do you want from us, as we enter, you know, season three, or whatever we're calling this, year two, season
three.
I don't know. Who knows? It's just like, episode 50 or
who
whatever.
Knows? Right.
So, so we're jumping to Noah. Gratitude list. So you like write stuff down.
Yeah, I do. I do. Like, I've been trying to do it every day.
That's
like
a great
at least
idea.
10 things a day. And it really does help. It really, really does help.
That's a great thing. Where'd you get that? Where'd that come
know.
From?
Like, I'm like, I love like self-help things.
Yeah, me
like
too.
You look over there, there's like a million self-help books.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I think it's just something I picked up along the way, but it definitely like helps. And I think that's the thing for like longevity, is like reminding yourself of like why you're grateful to be there in the first place.
Yeah.
And I think also it's a whole thing of like being real and knowing when it's time to absolutely go.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say just gratitude. And with Beautiful, I definitely hit a point where I was like, I'm out. Like, yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, and that's good. So what is that? I mean, when...
there's okay, the inspector.
We're going to cut to commercial. Yeah, because some guys just came and took a picture of your apartment.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that was.
Yeah, we'll just like, we'll come back from that with like some song from Beautiful. I'll just like put some music from Beautiful in the middle of it.
Yeah, perfect.
And then we'll just come back and just
perfect.
Figure out what the heck.
I don't know, but thank you for sitting through that.
No, it's easy. But we're talking about the gratitude list. How you stay grateful, because that's like this changing your mindset thing that like I'm really and Bobby Creighton is obsessed with this at our show.
He is.
Yeah, well, just about like you can choose how you feel about something.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a big fan of, I think it's the East Coast that has like made me more cynical and dark, but when I'm like everything is terrible all the time actually makes me feel better.
Yeah.
As opposed to being like, I'm happy. I'm really happy. Well, no, actually I'm not. And I don't want to pretend like I'm not. But there is something that to be said, especially for gratitude, because you can see things, you know, if you choose to write stuff down, you see things you wouldn't have seen.
Yeah, totally. You know? And you know, like, I will say that's one of the things I love about Bobby, like, as crazy as he is, he's fucking nuts. Like, I do really admire his positive spirit and his energy, and it is something that you have to work on. Like, I think people forget that. Like, it takes work. And so I think, like, that's how I survived, not survived, but that's how I thrived 3 years doing the same thing was like trying to remain grateful as possible.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not easy. And like, I just knew when it was time to go. So like one day I woke up and I was like, I'm never going to sing this song again. And that day hit. And I always said to myself, if I feel that way, I'm just going to leave. Yep. And so it was scary because I was working consistently fresh out of school and did Broadway. And then I opened this huge national tour and did this whole tour and was making a ton of money on tour. Right. And like, I think like that's an interesting thing about school. Like they teach you how to get a job or like hopefully get a job. They don't tell you like when it's time to go.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. You know? Totally. Cause I always say that they don't teach you, like we all got into this cause we like doing the High School Musical and that's like three shows.
Yeah.
Then you do your college show, which maybe is like six shows.
Yeah.
Then you do Wagon Wheel Theater Company.
I worked at Wagon Wheel.
And we're going to talk about that. and you do like maybe like 20 or 40 shows.
Yeah.
Then you graduate from college and they're like, okay, so you're going to do 400 performances of Cinderella on Broadway. You're going to do 900 performances are beautiful. I mean, do you know how many performances you did?
Oh my God. At least 900.
Wow.
For sure.
That's crazy.
Which is so crazy to say out loud.
And then they don't teach you when it's time to go because like, we didn't get into this to stay in a show for 20 years. Mm-mm. I mean, there are people that do that and put kids through college and, you know, buy houses and that's fantastic. But it's like, you know, I think we got into it because we like doing the spring show and then the fall show and then the, you know, doing the, you know, things differently. So you woke up one day and you're like, it's time.
I woke up and I was like, it's time. And so I like had to figure out, like I had to get in the mindset for that. And like one day I walked in and I turned in my notice and they were all kind of like, kind of gagged to be honest.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what's happening? And I'm like, I'm just leaving.
Yeah, it's
like,
time.
People looked at me like I was crazy and they, you know, I got all the side eye in the world.
Totally.
Because like, they're like, this is a production contract tour. Like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, I'm sorry, but like, this ain't for me. Like I have to go.
Yeah.
And then
because otherwise you're going to go nuts. You're going to be a miserable person to be around. And that's the one thing, like we've all seen the people who stay at the shows too long.
Yeah.
And you're like, yo, you're nobody wants to be around you now.
You're mean.
And you gotta go, and it's okay. Like you'll get another job.
Yeah,
like, it's that trust. It's just fear based. You know,
yeah.
When you don't leave sometimes. I think because if you're still happy, like stay, right?
Yeah.
Like stay and be happy.
Yeah.
But if you're not happy, like no one's forcing you to be there.
Yeah. And so the real kicker was that they were like, well, what are you gonna do next? And I was like, I'm going to Russia.
Oh, right. You did that thing, that teaching gig.
Yeah. So like I work for this organization called Broadway Dreams. And I was like, hey guys, I'm leaving the show. I'm finally free. Like what's going on? Like I want to come hang and teach. And they're like, we're going to Russia. Do you want to come? And I was like, yeah, I want to come.
You got to tell this story. Can you talk about like, tell as much of that as you can with like,
oh my God,
like being followed and
oh my God. Yeah. So like, wow. So the long and short of it is I left the show. I was headed to Russia and like I had to fly by myself because I wasn't coming from New York with the group. I was coming from like home because I had tour stuff and whatever. So I went from like home, which is Louisville, Kentucky, to DC, to Germany, to Russia. I think that's the way I went. So I had to travel alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, it was just like a interesting journey. It was totally fine. Like Germany was great. And then I got into Russia and I was totally through everything. And I was leaving for like, had my bags in my hand. And like the driver's going to meet you on the other side of the thing. Like once you have your bags, I'm like, great. I'm walking through and I see this woman point at me and I'm like, oh fuck. She just points. And
like a security person, like,
yeah, like a security,
like a border patrol.
Yeah. And it's a woman and she is stern and she points at me and she's like, come here. And I walk over there and they had told me like, when you're over there, just say as little as possible. Do not fight back. Like you will not get into the country. We can't help you if you get stuck.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh fuck. So this woman points at me. She pulls me into this room and she's like grilling me. Like, what are you doing here? And I'm giving her like one word answers, like acting. And she's like, what? I'm like, I'm teaching. Like, I'm just like, I don't even know what to say.
Oh my God.
And she's like, well, where are you staying? And I'm like, this hotel. And like, she's grilling me. And so then she makes me put my suitcases. I'm in a room by myself. She makes me put my suitcases on this metal table and she opens it and she starts undoing everything. And I keep in mind, I'm over there for like 2.5 weeks. So like, I have a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff.
She is pulling out every shirt that I folded, shaking it, every book, opening it, shaking out the bookmarks, Googling every pill bottle I have, like, laying out the pills, making sure that it, she brought in a guy, he helped her. And I just had to stand there and like watch my stuff get destroyed for 45 minutes.
Oh my God.
And they like couldn't find anything, I guess, to like keep me on. And so she was like, you can go. And she just walked out and all my shit was everywhere.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's crazy. That was my introduction.
Yeah, welcome to Russia.
Welcome to Russia.
Oh my God.
And then
God.
I tried to get on the subway and I was randomly tapped to get to security search every time into the subway and out of the subway.
Oh my God.
And I learned like, they really don't have like black people over there. And so they definitely don't have mixed people over there.
Right.
And so the closest thing that I looked was Muslim.
Middle Eastern.
Yeah, right? Middle Eastern, because I have like a beard and I'm like medium skin tone. They had a field day with me.
Oh my God.
But all that to say, it was an amazing time. And
right, once you got to teach and got to the art of it, I'm sure the people were amazing.
Amazing. God, and the talent was unreal. Like the talent, I've never been in a dance call of 300 people where every person can dance. Like they get all, it's like in their culture. It's amazing.
Right. Right. Sure. Like, I mean the ballet culture and you know, they do respect the, I mean, they have such a lineage of the arts and stuff, you know,
it's beautiful like to see. And like, I learned so much from the artists over there and we had these huge discussions and huge talks and everyone cried about like how alike we are, even though our countries are kind of a hot mess right now and all that stuff. And it was a really beautiful experience. And I've been waiting to go back and I have a huge Russian fan base now, which is hilarious.
Well, I mean, you got 300 people in a dance call and then like, you know, all of these people and it just spread, I'm sure like, you know, degrees of separation.
It's
all these
so
people.
Funny at the stage door, like I'll have random Russians and stuff.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Like people you taught or just people from?
No, just like fans of the theater that I came over there. Cause I sang over there and I sang at the Russian embassy. And I did all types of things.
Wow.
And so it's just super funny. But I had a great, great time when I was there. It's a beautiful country, but
that's,
you know,
so cool.
It's got its shit just like ours.
No, totally.
Thank you for listening to our show. As always, you can check us out on Instagram at Guys Who Like Musicals or on Twitter at Musical Guys.
And we just started a Patreon page, which is the best way for you to support our show. If you love our show, check it out. There's tons of cool opportunities for listeners on there. So check it out. Love you. Oh, when you did get promoted from the Kristoff understudy to to actually playing Kristoff, it's one of those moments where I feel like there's hope, you know, for anybody, you know, who is understudying or, you know, thinks like, you know, because of course, like you want to play roles and you want to do the things, but I was so excited when you got that promotion. And I just wonder how it felt for you, what the process was like to actually go on for that role a bunch, which you did in previews once, right?
Right.
You like when he got sick in previews. And so you've been doing it consistently for a year.
Yeah.
And then to be like, hey, let's go. Trust me. Like I can do this.
Yeah. You know? That was crazy. So like for everyone that doesn't know, the story was like we were out in Denver and like setting up a Broadway show is just insane. So like I had my regular duties of like my own ensemble track, which was very, 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 very dance heavy and crazy. Mm-hmm. And so like we were constantly changing choreography and songs and all that thing. So like it was just hard to keep up with our own stuff, let alone like the understudy stuff.
Right.
And so, you know, opening night comes, I've got like so many friends and family there and I'm at the mall putting on shoes, trying to get the perfect white shoes for my suit.
Yep.
And I get a call from Lisa Dawn, our stage manager at the time. And she's like, honey, you need to get to the theater now. And I was like, what do you mean?
Oh my God.
She's like, you might be going on tonight. And this is like opening night of Out of Town Denver, like the big night. And I'm like, you can't be serious. She's like, yeah. So I like with my friend, I throw the shoes, get in an Uber. I send him to my apartment with my keys to get my script. I run in and I go to the costume shop first and my costume is all like leather, you know, that's like just leather and sweaters. It's like the hottest thing you can ever wear.
Which, yeah, I could, that's another podcast about the the green coat that I wear is the warmest winter coat I've ever worn. And it's 80 degrees in the theater at all times. So, you know.
Yeah, you sweat it all out.
Your costume is leather and sweaters.
Leather and sweaters with armor underneath, like skin tight. It's like the worst. So I'm in this costume shop. They are draping slabs of leather over my shoulder. Like have nothing put together. I mean, literally nothing.
Right.
And so they're talking to me. They like, everyone's freaking out. And like, at this point, we've had 1 hour of understudy rehearsal.
Whoa.
1 hour where we like half sang through the music, which had changed at that point.
Totally. It's all changing.
All changed. Yeah. And like, didn't even know, do any of the blocking. And so I was like, okay, this is crazy. So I leave them. I'm like, you guys, I have to go. Like, if I'm on, I have to rehearse this thing. And I meet like all the associates up in this rehearsal room, and we start like plowing at it from top to bottom. So we start like right away, and I'm like, all right, tell me. And we just bang, 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 scene, all this blocking. And so we get through for like an hour of work, and we have to stop because it's half hour at this point.
Oh my God.
And the show's about to start. Oh my God, it's a crazy day. And Lisa Dawn comes up and she's like, okay. She's like, all right, so Jelani's in for tonight, but I've been in this profession for a long time, and I wouldn't be surprised if he calls out act two, so be ready. And I was like, that's the act we haven't gotten to.
I don't know any of act two.
I was like, we just got to intermission. We just got through act one. And I was like, oh God, this is just so rich. And so I'm doing, the show starts and he's doing it, and I'm running around doing my show with a script, my giant script, and I'm writing down his blocking and watching him and trying to do my own choreography. And oh my God, it was so stressful.
Oh my God.
And so the show ended. He actually made it through the whole thing, which was great. And I went to the party for like 5 minutes because during act two, they're like, you're 100% on tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh fuck.
He's just sick as a dog, like just trying to get through it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you're 100% on tomorrow. And I'm like, okay. And so I went to the party for 5 minutes because I had people there, and I like said hello and I took one picture and I ran out of that place. And on my way out, I got stopped by like Tom Schumacher and Ann Cord and all
the executive producers at Disney Theatrical.
Yeah. And they're all like, we're going to stay, extend our time to see you tomorrow. Go on. And I'm like,
no, please don't.
Oh yeah.
Please go home.
Just go ahead and stay.
Please
That's
go
totally
back to New York.
Please go. So I went home and I studied that script. Like, I mean, you'd never seen, and I didn't sleep. And they had an emergency put in, you know, 2 hours before the show, and I did it. And it was just one of those things of like, thank God for CCM. Like, holy crap. Because I knew the story and I knew what I needed to sing. And I was like, I will get to A to B to C to D somehow, some way.
Right.
It might be my way.
This curtain will go up and this curtain will go down.
That's right. And we will get this story. Yeah. But I just had to like, it's one of those moments where it's like fight or flight and you have to like trust in yourself. And I did the show and I just like was 100% myself and did the story. And it was great. Like, it was terrifying, and I like about blacked out at the end, like, you know, by the time I was done, but it was great. And I think that was the moment where I really had the chance to prove myself and be like, I can really do this.
Right.
And not hold back. And like, those are rare moments. Like they don't really come.
Totally.
And so that's where it kind of all, I think, you know, I proved my worth there with the company. And so
God, do you remember, my mom always talks about when like there's moments of incredible stress or excitement to try to remember one thing, because like if you try to focus on one thing, then, you know, you'll remember, you know, this particular snapshot. Mm-hmm. And if you try to remember everything, like, you won't remember anything from the day. Like my wedding day and like my Broadway debut, she was like, just remember one thing. And I remember very clearly walking into the Jacobs Theater. And there's this old timey, sign above in the alley between the Majestic and the Jacobs that says the curtain is up, and it's gotta be from the 1920s.
Oh,
and
cool.
it lights up. And I just remember that being this like really sort of Broadway quintessential kind of moment.
Yeah.
Do you remember one moment from this like ultra stressful, you're going on, and you know, for the first performance, your second performance of Frozen in Denver?
I do, because I was like, I do remember one moment. It was like right when Anna gets frozen.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a pretty sad, I mean, it's a really sad moment. And yeah. So I remember like feeling weepy and sad. And then I was just a flood of tears. Oh my gosh, because yeah. like, I think like regardless of her dying, I was just like, right. I made it through.
Right, right,
and
right,
so
right,
like,
right,
I remember like not being able to stop like sobbing for like, you know, till the vows. Like I was just like a hot right. mess. So I, that's right. what I remember, just like looking and like blurry eyed because I was just like, yeah. just a well of tears because so much I had just put all of myself into this thing.
Yeah.
And it finally was like
nothing left. And she's and from that moment you basically stand there downstage right
yeah.
for like kind of till
yeah.
the end. Right?
Yeah, so pretty
like
much
you,
to the
you've
end.
You've done it now. Yeah. Like you can actually say that's so cool.
That's what I remember the most. Wow. Yeah. So
that's
it's
unreal.
Just crazy. So I yeah, that was the journey.
That's
I mean,
a
Jesus
great story.
Christ.
And now it's the beginning of year 3 and gratitude lists.
Gratitude lists?
Yeah. What do you do? What's your like your creative sort of side hustle like I wonder you know when you're in something you know whether you know beautiful for a long time this for a long time is there something else that you do creatively outside of this stuff that keeps the fire burning?
You know, I'm like kind of the worst at that, and yeah. I've always been the worst at that. Like I always see people like even what you're doing like a podcast or people like write musicals or like do whatever I'm totally like I do my thing and like I don't sing. I don't do like I don't really do anything else artistic.
No, but that's like that just keeps it. That's what you do. Like you conserve.
Yeah,
you
know?
Like
I
you
do conserve.
You're a homebody. You're Rapunzel in your tower. Come home. You watch. You know, watch Netflix.
Yeah,
you know.
But you know, it's like what? Remember you text me that thing and you're like, this reminded me of you. What did that like meme say? That was like, I've worked too hard. I have to like go out and party or something.
Oh yeah. It was basically like I'm gonna go. I actually kind of want to look it up.
Yeah,
it was like
look that
it
up.
It was something like. Like I want to, I'm going to just, you said to me one night, you were like, I just need to go out and live my best gay life tonight is what you said. And I was like, what do you mean? And like, you're like, I'm going out. And that was one thing. It was like, you were like going to the club or you went to the club or something. You said it said it was this meme from the drunk bitch that said, I need a ratchet ass night out. I've been civilized for weeks.
Yeah. That is 100,000% me. I think that's what I do.
I've been civilized for weeks.
I've been civilized for fucking weeks. No, I think that's what I do. Like totally. I will work so hard, like auditions, blah, 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 for like 6 weeks, and then one day I'll be like, I have to go party and like live my life.
Yes. Yes.
And I think like that release is like the best, like going to Brooklyn and like dancing my little ass off. Like those are the moments where I'm like, okay, I'm like fully living my best gay life.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what I do as opposed to doing like making a musical or like doing a thing. Like I just go out and I like drink with my friends and we party. Like I'm a Libra and I feel like I'm very much a Libra.
Yeah.
And my scales, like sometimes my work scale is a little too tilted. So I got to balance it with the party scale.
I love that. No, and that's exactly it. Because also, like, you know, we miss a lot of things on this schedule. You miss a ton of birthdays and weddings and all sorts of stuff. So, like, you got to get the dancing in somehow. You got to go to the club somehow.
You have to.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just, like, the best. Like, I have like, go out and have a good kiki, and then I'll be ready. Then I'll be ready for the work week.
Yeah, and, like, ready. Like, you are one of the most consistent performers that I've ever worked with. And that's what I wondered, you know, with this whole, like, you do shows for a long time and you stay, you know, vocally every night, you sound like $1 million. You're in every scene, 100%. You're not like, and that, so I'm always so curious about how the people who are really consistent, how they do it, you know? Cause I feel like some nights you know, some nights are significantly better than others.
No,
inside Joe's Carol's performance.
No,
But that's amazing. That's amazing. So sometimes you just got to let it out. So I've taken a massive chunk of your morning.
No.
And I just we kind of finished these things up with like a couple of little stock questions. But I wonder, and this is Dan's question. He can't be here, unfortunately.
Okay.
But he says I always. What would you tell 15-year-old Noah? Like, is there any advice that you'd look back and say to 15, 17, 18-year-old Noah?
I'd probably say, like, your hard work will pay off because you never know if that shit will pay off.
Right.
And I also think I'd say, like, just breathe. And I think I probably like 15 years from now, I probably, if I got the same question, would be like, just breathe, bitch.
Yeah. Just breathe, bitch.
Cause I can get like wound up and like anxious and stressed and all that stuff. And I think I would just look back at myself and be like, just breathe, motherfucker.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
I love that. And then mine is what, you know, it's this question that listeners are probably like, get to it, Joe. Like, you don't have to explain it, you know, now 20 million times. But it's my, what's your impossible dream question? So like, if you, we all set out on this journey whenever, however old we were to get to Broadway, you know, and that has happened for some people and it did happen for us. And so what do you, what's next? Like, what do you see on that, like that horizon that you're kind of like, okay, now I think I'm going after this thing.
I mean, I think what's next would be a series regular.
Love it.
Which would just be so great. And I would love to balance that out with a nice Broadway show. Like a little bit of both would be good. Like, I like to have my toes in a couple of things.
Totally, me too.
So that would be the dream. Like a little bit of back and forth. And then also weekends off.
Right? God,
that's
give me
the
a
ultimate dream.
Off.
Just a Saturday. Even just one. Just like one. Saturday or Sunday. I'll let the work pick. Like whatever.
Totally.
Just either one would work for me. So that's the impossible I've yet to find dream.
I love that. Well, I just said, do you remember, do you know Conrad Rickamora?
Oh,
yeah. Do you know Conrad? I just remember when he was doing King and I with my friend Ashley Park.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, he was flying back and forth to California shooting How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh, my God.
And doing King and I at the same time. And I was like, that's the dream. Mm-hmm. That's the dream.
You know,
to be able to just do like 14 different things at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally with you.
Yeah.
I'm totally with you. And then when you get your series regular, you have to invite me over to your country house.
Oh my God, anytime, anytime.
Buddy, thank you for letting me bug you.
Oh my God, thanks for having me. I love it.
You're perfect.
Thank you.
Oh my God. See, is that it?
That's it.
Oh,
that's it.
Is that a good one?
Okay, so it's working, I think. Right. Yeah. Okay. So now the whole point of this was like, if I come over and talk to you, I have to help you run lines for an audition.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now
the trade-off.
So now the payment for me bugging you is that we're going to work on lines for this audition.
Absolutely. We are.
What do I get if you book it?
You get a dinner.
Great.
Yay. Steak dinner.
Okay. Great.
Del Frisco's or whatever. Yeah.
But listen, you read my mind. Okay. So now Noah's going to book a pilot.
All right.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.